So if you have your Bibles, turn them to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. And as we do, as you're turning there, I just want to celebrate something. Can we celebrate together with something? Celebrate, whoop, whoop. You know, we got to just do this. In the last 3 weeks, we've been talking, obviously beyond relationships, we've been talking about serving and about community and taking our next steps. And there's two big things that I want to celebrate, because I will always celebrate people taking their next step. Always. One of the first things is a few weeks ago, we did a message and we asked people, would you like to take a next step in serving? We have 5 new people who joined the team. I'm going to say, yeah, come on, let's celebrate, celebrate, whoop, whoop, you know, hashtag celebrate, right? The other thing is that last week we talked about the community. We talked about the importance of the priority of community. And I want to celebrate this because I saw two beautiful things happen. The first thing, people actually lingered after church in order to build relationship. I thought that was beautiful just watching that. And the second thing, after I got all the stuff together and about people who joined the small groups who were here who were able to join up, we have 55% of our church in small groups. I mean, that's huge. That's huge. Yay. Yay, yay, yes. Everybody's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. But here's the thing. We're celebrating that because as we grow as a church, we will always celebrate when someone takes their next step towards growing relationship with Christ. Always. If you've not joined a small group or you want to join into the service, you still can. This is not a closed thing. You can talk to me after service. Because you know some people, they say it's closed now. This is not closed. All right? Now, as we talk, you guys are in relationships, right? Some of you are like, I wish I was, you know. But we're mostly in relationships, and there's all sorts of relationships you're in, whether it be husband, wife, mother, daughter, sister, uncle, and then some of you guys are maybe crazy old cat ladies, and there's all sorts of relationships that you can be in. And you know what the problem is with relationships? The longer you are in a relationship, the more likely you are to miscommunicate something. The more likely you are to misunderstand something, or if I share something with you, you may not get me. Well, why do you say that? Why do you say it's longer? Why it's not shorter? Well, you ever see people who are starting to date when they're first dating? They're on their P's and Q's so good that they're like trying to impress you. That's what they're trying to do is make sure that you don't see anything wrong with them. I mean, it's one of those things. And then a year into it, they're a total different person. And you know, like when you're first, and this is funny. It's a little like one of those type of humors. Like when you're first dating, nobody passes gas. But like when you're like 5 years into a relationship, you're having contests and who can do it the worst. Come on, you know it's in there, right? And that's the new relationships versus older relationships. But every one of them, the longer you're in a relationship, the more likely it is to have a miscommunication. To have something that says, you know, I'm trying to hear. Honey, and I'll tell you, let me say it this way. I did this with my wife. We've been together 15, 16 years. And this was early in my relationships. Guys, take note. My wife comes up to me and she says, honey, how does this dress make me look? You already know where this is going. I'm an honest guy, to a fault sometimes. And I was trying to be nice. Honey, I don't think it goes with your eyes. Did you just call me a heifer? No, I didn't. I didn't call you that. Did you call me fat? No, I just said it doesn't go with your complexion and your eyes. And I really did say that. But she misunderstood what I was saying. And we can talk about the same thing and still be on different pages. Like there's a story about two old women who were sitting outside on a beautiful night. Stars. You ever see one of those picturesque nights where you hear the crickets and all this stuff? And it's like, man, I'd love to sit on the front porch then. Nice and cool. And that was happening. Crickets are chirping in the background. And these two old ladies are sitting on the porch and they hear the church down the road and they hear the choir singing. And the lady goes, isn't that beautiful music? And the other lady, without skipping a beat, yeah, it is beautiful. I think they create that music by rubbing their legs together. And the idea was that there were two different conversations wrapped around the same one, and they misunderstood because they were seeing it from different perspectives. One was talking about the church, the other were talking about the crickets. But it's so easy to be in the same conversation and totally miss it with the person you're with, isn't it? It's so easy to get into this and you think you're on the same page and you think that you're there together and only to find out after about 30 minutes of arguing that you weren't even talking about the same thing. Everybody, I see head shaking like, yep, as some of you guys had happened on the way to church. Because you know, I mean, I'm just telling you. Because, you know, if the devil's going to get after you, it's on the way to church to make you miserable. But we have opportunities and options to continually miscommunicate with one another. Now, here's what the Bible says. And I want to start with here because the key that you need, I'm going to start with this. The key that you need for every good relationship, I don't care if it's mother, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, whatever, husband, wife, the deal is you need to be a good communicator. You need to learn and have the skills to communicate well with one another. It doesn't stop just saying, hey, let me tell you this. It doesn't stop at that. Because you, not only do I have to communicate to give you the information, I have to communicate so that you understand me. And the Bible has a beautiful verse that most of us don't like. Because some people, if you're like me, you tend to be the other two part of this as opposed to the first. It's James 1:19, and when you hear it, you'll be like, oh yeah. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. They're to get angry. And I'm going to tell you, if you're anything like me, you just ignored the first part, and now you're on to quick to speak, and you're a whole lot quicker to get angry and get offended. Because I'm going to tell you what, and it's even in our design. And I think this is amazing how God designed us. And maybe you heard this, maybe this may be stupid to you, but God designed you with two ears and one mouth. So you and I need to listen twice as long as we speak. Right? And I think we miss that. Because we want to speak. And a matter of fact, here's the level of most of our conversations. The moment somebody engages us in a conversation, we take the conversation to where we want them to know, where we want them to go, and we direct them without even knowing we're directing them. Everybody's all quiet in this church today, I'll tell you what. Because why? Because we don't seek to understand. We only want to be understood. So we're sitting there, you have to understand me, you have to understand me, you have to understand me. And instead of trying to go to the person and say, let me understand you first. One of the most powerful questions in communication that I ever learned that I use today, and it's part of my first question I ever ask, is help me understand from your point of view what's happening. It is the first question I ask. Because if I don't ask that question, you know what? We're going to argue. I'm going to tell you six ways on how to get over your issue, and then you're going to tell me that wasn't even my issue. Oh, you know it's been there, and you've been on the other end of that conversation. Because here's why. Because I'm quick to speak. And then when I'm speaking, if you don't take what I'm saying, I get angry, right? You do too. But it says be quick to listen, slow to speak. Slow to anger. Now, Francois de La Rochelle, I'm getting French here, French, says to listen closely and to reply well is the highest perfection we are able to attain in the art of conversation. Jim Rohn says it this way, and I love this quote too. If you just communicate, you can get by. However, if you communicate skillfully, you can work miracles. My mama, and I've heard you probably always said this, but my mama say a lot of times, if you can say anything you want, as long as you say it right. That comes into the art of learning how to speak to one another. That comes into learning how to communicate. I'm telling you, this world, we're offended really quick, aren't we? I mentioned Bill Clinton, that's the other guy. I mentioned Donald Trump, and half the people I know hate me. I mentioned Hillary Clinton and the other half hate me. Why? Because we're so attached to our emotional attachments that we will say if anybody challenges them, that person is automatically wrong and automatically an idiot. And we get so offended, and instead of having healthy conversations about issues, we rather get offended and give you the stink eye. You know it's true. If I was the perfect example, if I was to come up and say, hey, I love your hair, and I really do, it looks nice. And I say, your hair looks really nice today. You go away, and you'll be like, man, it's so encouraging. If I come up to you, and no, this is just a joke, but seriously, if I come up to you and say, man, that shirt is stupid, I may lose a worship leader. Now, I know he's mature enough to come back and say, man, I really didn't like that. And that's good, and that's how it should be. But you understand what I'm saying, is how we communicate is determined what happens. And you have the power right now to say, and help people communicate in a way that's healing and to communicate a way that's not healing. You have that power. But you know what the truth of the matter is? We miscommunicate all the time. I'm going to give you a couple examples. Now, if you turn your eyes to the screen, we got a couple pictures here. The first picture here is, you'll see, caution, this sign has sharp edges. Do not touch the edges on this sign. Is that message clear? Do you think that's clear? Don't touch this sign. But did you happen to read the small print? Also, the bridge is out. Do you see that? Which part are you trying? Don't cut your finger, but oh yeah, don't die either. Because we have all of these miscommunications. I mean, it just really is. Okay, let's go to the second one. All you guys who love some pets. No pets allowed, but if you have a pet, put them on a leash. What are you trying to tell me here? I have, look, no pets allowed, but all pets must be on leash. Does that mean I put my children on leashes? I just don't know. And then my favorite is the last one, is instant death. Under wire, instant death. Touching wires causes instant death, but you get a $200 fine. So you let me understand this. Do I premeditate this and pay you the money first, or do you take it from my dead body? And I got a question. What are you communicating? What are you saying? And then let's talk about relationships. How often? I don't care if you're married, dating, or just friends. How often do we miscommunicate things and say one thing and mean another? How often do we say that? Like, perfect example. Ladies, if you don't like the guy, quit flirting with him. Guys, if you don't like her and you don't want to date her because you think she's crazy, stop calling her. Let's just get practical and real. Why? Because we can't send mixed messages. I have a friend. You know, I have that one friend. And he does this. And I'm sitting here like, dude. I'm like, he's sitting there and he's like, I don't like this lady. I don't want to date her. But I'm lonely. I can't stop calling her. Are you serious? Are you serious? What message are you trying to say? Do you want to spend the rest of your life with this lady or do you want to be apart? I want to be apart. Then quit calling her. What message are you sharing? What communication are you trying to do versus what is heard? Now, I'm going to tell you, God is the greatest communicator of all time, isn't he? And we can have a model with God in the way he communicates. And I think there's something beautiful about the way he communicates. Matter of fact, in the beginning of time, and we'll look at John first, not first John, but the book of John, chapter 1, first and a second. Here's the thing. God said, salvation is too big for me to send through someone else. I'm going to come down and say it myself. I'm going to teach you a really big theological term. You ready for this? It's two words. And you're going to go out here and say, I know theology. Divine accommodation. Divine accommodation. What does that mean? It means that before God accommodated himself to our language, we didn't understand God, we couldn't know God, and we could not see what God was doing. But God said, you know what? I get that. God wasn't sitting around saying, wait, I hope they understand me one day. God wasn't sitting around saying, man, I pray to myself that they get me. He wasn't doing that. He said, you know what? I am so in love with my people that I'm going to change myself and I'm going to step out of heaven and put flesh on so that I can speak the message loud and clear so they can't miss it, so they can't misunderstand. Matter of fact, I was telling you, John, here, it says it here, watch this. And the word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. I think the greatest way of communication is dwelling with someone in community. He came among us so that we behold his glory, and the glory as the one only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said, I don't want you to misunderstand, so I'm putting skin on and I'm coming to visit. Get your cookies ready. And then it goes in here, John 14 and 7. It says, if you have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, before me, you couldn't know God. Now I'm here, you know exactly who God is. You can know God because you know me. I think that's the most purest form of communication. It's called incarnational communication, where God himself came down and says, I'm going to give you the message of heaven by myself, through my own words, and I'm going to share it to you. I mean, you can't misunderstand that one. It's pretty black and white. So I think that if you and I are people who are trying to be like Jesus, right? Then we need to model our communicational style as him. You know, let's just say it this way. Say what you mean and mean what you say, right? Not say what you hope they understand. Not I hope you figure it out, but say what you mean and mean what you say. Now say it in love and say it right. But say what you mean and mean what you say. And just think for a minute. What if we would just begin to learn to communicate with one another? That we would be slow to anger and slow to speak and quick to listen. What would your relationship look like right now? How much more dynamic you would have a relationship? How much more do you think it would be? How much more fuller would it be? How much more impactful? How much more connected would you feel? How much more, I would say unalone, but how wouldn't you feel a lot more like you weren't alone if you were more connected? If you would just take the moment to learn to communicate as God communicates, incarnationally, in your relationship, straightforward, in love, wouldn't you change the dynamic of every relationship you ever had? Wouldn't that be something powerful? Is that something you want? Is that something that me and you can agree that we can work towards? Because here's what it is. I don't know where you are today. I don't know if your marriage is a good marriage. I don't know if your marriage has failed. I don't know if you're dating. I don't know if it's a great date relationship. I don't know where it's at. But I do know this. Is that God wants to take failed things and make them successful. That God wants to take okay relationships and make them good. And he wants to take good relationships and make them great. And he wants to take great relationships and make them godly. Do you follow me, guys? This is what God wants to do. But are you willing to do what you need to do to get there? I told you to open 1 Samuel 25. Are you there? If you're there, say, I'm there. Okay, for the rest of you who aren't there, you just missed the party. All right, but as we're turning there, 1 Samuel 25, it will be on the screens. You can get it on your phone. You can get it in a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we can get you one. That's no problem. It's a story. Let me give you some context as you're turning. It's a story about three people, a would-be king, a fool, and a woman. Well, his name, Nabal, actually means fool, means foolish, and a woman who held everything together. I mean, man, if you got a woman like that who holds your life together, man, you got a good thing. That's what Proverbs says. So men, if you have a woman who about like Abigail, we'll talk about her in a second, keep a hold of that woman. Keep a hold of him. Now, ladies, if you have a man like Nabal, we are praying for you. And you'll understand in a second. You'll understand in a second. But here's the thing. So David is out in the wilderness. He's running. He's going to be king. And he's trying to stay alive because Saul is trying to kill him. So he's in the wilderness, and he comes across this land, and it's owned by Nabal, and Nabal was a rich man. And what he does is he begins to be like the bodyguard out there. Didn't ask Nabal, and Nabal didn't hire him, but he starts to take care of all the bandits and protects his sheep, protects his goats, and protects his land. And Nabal actually got very rich from this. He was already rich, but he got richer because now he has this person out there in the desert helping him. And this is where our story takes place and how communication can truly mess us up or help us. Let's start with this, verse 2. Now, there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing the sheep in Carmel. Now, the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. And the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in all his dealings, and he was a Celibite. Let me say that about Nabal. The man was harsh and evil in all of his dealings. That's going to play a key when we talk about communications here in a second. But I want to start here is David's out in the land. Are you still with me, church?
Yeah.
David's out in the land. He's helping this guy out, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to come, and I'm going to ask Nabal for food. Now, that's actually pretty customary. Back then in first century, or actually not first century, this is way beyond first century, this is BC time. In BC time, it was actually very customary in this time, in this place, where hospitality. If a guy came to you, it didn't matter how many travelers he had, that if he came to you and said, hey, I'm in need, it was your sworn duty to fulfill that need, whether it be clothes, food, or whatever. Okay, you following? And so David in this time is coming up and he's saying, I have a need. Now he has 600 men he has to feed. Okay, that's a lot of people. It's like, he's like, hey, can you come to a party? You bring your 600 friends with you? I don't know about this. But here's the thing. But it purposely says that he was a rich man. Because Nabal could feed all 600 and never skip a beat. He was that rich. But Nabal was evil and he was harsh and he denied David. And he said no. He said no. So here's the first thing. If you're taking notes, this is the first blank. What you communicate is a reflection of what's in your heart. What you communicate and how you communicate is only a reflection of what's in here. Oh, you're going to hate me for this one, I'm sure. See, because the way we talk, how we talk to somebody, what we say, whether it be happy, joy, joy, or hurtful and mean, comes from the condition of our hearts. I remember when I was talking to somebody, this was a long time ago, we were in ministry together, and they posted something on Facebook. And I said, and I called them, I had a few people call me, and they were like, asking me questions. So I called them, and I said, hey, I'm really thinking this particular post is causing some people to stumble. You know, can you just take it down and then go and talk to them and you know, just do the leadership thing because you have great influence in their lives and they see you as somebody they can look up to. And right now they're a brand new young Christian and they just need a strong influence, you know? And because again, you can say anything you want, but you have to understand that people are going to misunderstand you. And if you're young in the faith, it's easy to misunderstand somebody who's been in the faith a while. So I did that. And you would think I called her kid ugly. Because after I said this, for 2 hours of me trying to calm them down, I got told I was an awful pastor. I got told that I was the hypocritical. I got told that I didn't have their back. I mean, for 2 hours, I'm being yelled at and berated. I should have hung up the phone after the first 5 minutes. But I'm going with a point somewhere. And the deal is that and I said, no, get this. And they wanted names. And I said, no, this is not the point. But I came to an understanding is that what was in our heart was released when she got offended. Do you know if you don't deal with the conditions of your heart, it will come out on someone? Do you know that what you may think that it's healed, but you can tell if it's healed when somebody hits that thing and offends you and how you treat them? Now, since then, I'm still in relationship with this person, and they've gotten a lot of healing since then. This was a long time ago. But the deal is that one simple thing to help another believer grow shot off a whole landslide. And I was like, whoa, because it was in their heart. And right now, you and I are sitting on things in our hearts that need to be healed. The unforgiveness, the unmet needs, the time when we've been rejected, the time when you've been hurt, the time when you thought somebody was supposed to be there and they weren't, the time where you felt betrayed, the time, you see where I'm going? And the deal is that all of that, if you don't deal with it, gets put in your heart and you hold on to it so that when somebody comes in and trips that little wire, it opens up the floodgate and you begin to treat people poorly. And then you apologize and you're all awful, but you're like, how did I get here? Because your speech matches your heart. Jesus says it this way. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Because what you say flows from what is in your heart. And a lot of our communication problems, a lot of our issues, stem from a past that we've never dealt with. You still with me? Still love me? Here's the deal. You may be at this place. You may have this situation. You may be in these particular places where you're trying to find healing and stuff. And I've got to tell you that you don't have to stay there. The choice to stay in a place like that is on you and not on anybody else but you. You can choose today to say, I don't want to be here anymore. And some of that may be counseling, and some of that may be God saying, I'm going to do this, and some of that may be community. I don't know what's going to be used in your life to help you get from there. But look at the quality of your relationships. Look how your relationships to those that are close to you are and how you speak to them. And that's going to tell you what's in your heart. Now, David's up here. Now, listen to David. He's full of grace. David, in verse 5, says this. So David sent 10 young men. I guess he sent 10 young ones, so kill off the young ones because the other ones are more experienced. I don't know. But he sent 10. And he said to them, he said to the young men, go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you will say, hear his speech. Have a long life. Peace be with you. And peace be to your house. And peace be to all that you have. Do you see the grace in which he talks? Do you see the love in which he's just being respectful? And later, if you read down and further in that particular chapter, what he says, I humbly request that you feed my people. That was what he did. I think that was beautiful. If you could learn to talk like that in your relationship, he went to him knowing that he was a harsh man. He wasn't a stupid guy, David. Nabal was a harsh man, evil. And he went to him and he greeted him like that. He could have been like, dude, I know you. I know your thing. Give me what I deserve. He didn't do that. Man, isn't it funny that we go into our relationships and that's what we do? Give me what I earn. Give me what I deserve. You owe me this. They don't owe you nothing. What if you learn to talk to the person that you're with better? Now, here's Nabal. Let's do a contrast. And you're going to understand why he's foolish. Okay? Verse 9. When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to the words in which David's name. And then they waited. They waited for the reply. But Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants who are each breaking away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat and I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men whose origin I don't know? Let me bring it to 2016. Who does he think he is? Who you is? And I don't know you. I don't know your brother. I don't know your daddy. I don't know where you come from. And you want me to feed your friends? I don't know where they came from. I worked hard for my money. So hard for my money. We lyricing you here now. We're going to throw back to old school songs. The younger ones in the church like, huh? Older ones like, yeah, we got this. But here's the thing. He's like, who does he think he is? Now, I'm going to tell you, 2016, we're not so different from Nabal. Who do you think you are asking me to provide for you? I can't even provide for myself. Who are you to think? I don't know you. I don't know your family. I don't know your business. Get on out of here. Do you hear what I'm saying? And then if you really think about it, how often have we thought that? Even when we've given something to somebody, we're still thinking, I don't know you. How dare you ask me for this? What's in our hearts comes out through our mouths every time. And you got to look at that. So when we're upset with one another, look at the quality. Look at what happens. When you're upset with your spouse, when you're upset with your kid, when you're upset with whatever in your life and your relationships, how do you talk to them? How do you address them? I'm not caring if they're your child. They should be addressed with respect. The Bible says that. It says, don't strike your children to anger. Now, discipline them, but don't do that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. But the deal is that, well, what about this? What about this? When you do have a fight, husband and wife, are you out for blood? Are you out to win? Is all that you want is just to win the argument? Because it's a reflection of what's in your heart. And if all I'm out is for blood, and all I'm out is just to be right, because remember it says, this man was a harsh and evil in all his dealings. You know what that means? He sucked at relationships. And he was hard-hearted. Does your relationship today look like that? Does your relationship, like even in those snippets, where you have those snippets, those moments in time where it's like, this huge blow up where you're throwing things at each other. I hope you're not. But you know, you want to get there sometimes. Because you're treating each other with disrespect and with love. And God's like, if you would just communicate, if you would just learn to understand one another, these big blow ups wouldn't happen. Because we're more interested in being right than what is right. There's an old statement that I've been saying, I've said around, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You remember that? You ever hear that statement? And it's truth in relationships. Because when we're quick to speak, we just want to tell people what we know. And a matter of fact, if you're in the relationship and you're, again, you're like me, I grew up in Philadelphia, so verbal jousting was one of my tools that I use, and I have to fight hard not to use it when my wife decides to argue with me, because I don't argue. No, I'm terrible at it. But here's the thing. I get in there and I go and I'll start cutting them down. I'll start sharing why I'm right and the 16 reasons why they're wrong. And does that build up? No. That doesn't build up. That doesn't add value to them. That just says, I want to be right and I don't care. That's what that communicates. When we treat people with disrespect, we are communicating, I don't care about you. Nabal communicated, I don't care. I don't like you. I don't want you. I don't love you. What are you communicating when you speak to your family, your friends, when you get into a rough spot? Everybody will have grace when you're down. Everybody will hold you up. Everybody will hug you and pick you up when you have grace. I've had people call me that said, I need to vent. I said, go ahead. And they started cussing at me and yelling. And I'm like, thank God this one said I just need to vent first because it had nothing to do with me. But at the end of it, they were like, I feel better. I was like, praise God, because thank God I don't drink, because if I did, I would need one. Because I'm telling you what, I didn't think you even knew those words. But she started out with, may I vent to you about another situation that has nothing to do with you? And I said, yes. Because I wanted to communicate the love and affection and the ability and the safety that they can communicate that thing. And that's what it comes down to. Because here's that next blank as we kind of roll down into close. Now, how you communicate is a reflection of what's inside of you. But there are consequences to the way you communicate. There are consequences to the way you communicate. And one of the things I got to tell you, I have a friend, I have more than one friend, just kind of say, okay, this is not the same one friend. But here's the deal. They were having trouble with their marriage. And I started sharing, I started talking, and I asked one question. I said, help me understand from your point of view. I start with this question everywhere. And I said, why is your marriage not working? Well, he does this, and he does that, and he does this, and he does that. And I said, no, I didn't say that. I just want to know what he did. I want to know what you did. And I said, and I want to tell you, this is nobody that's in this room at the minute, okay? And I talk to a lot. You'd be surprised how many people call me for relation advice. Here's the deal. I said, so tell me. And she was like, well, I can't stop yelling at him because he's too stupid. Okay? There's the first thing. And then they went on and said, and I may have slapped them once. Do you understand that there are consequences? You don't have the marriage and the relationship you want because you have what you have because of what you've done. Did you follow that? Because there's a consequences. Now, consequences are both good and bad. If I come up and I say, man, I really like that shirt. Matter of fact, I really do. But if I really like that shirt, he's going to leave and be like, man, I feel good. He's going to leave good. That's a good consequence. And if I give you money because I had it, not that I have it, but if I give it and God says, give money, I'll give it to you. And I feel good because I did something. I'm excited. That's a good consequence. If I work out and I lose weight, I don't look like I'm a jelly donut anymore. That's a good consequence. But then there's bad consequences. And in our relationship, we have what we have because we've done what we've done. And we refuse to look at our heart and we refuse to look at our actions. And then we ask, I don't know how I got here. And I'm like, if a pastor could slap a person and wake them up, we would call it the most anointed slap in the world. You know? Because here's the deal. When the ball got rude, when the ball got nasty, when he spoke negative, verse 13 said this, David came back and this was his speech. Boys, grab your swords. And he was taking 400 people with swords to go solve this issue. And it was, and when you read down a little further, it blows me away because David's a man after God's own heart. Says that. And it blew me away that David said, I don't even know if this is God's for this or not, and God will figure it out afterwards. God, forgive me for what I'm about to do. He didn't care the consequences. All he wanted to do was show this guy what he meant business. But I want to tell you, I mean, there's two things what you got to understand. There's offense, And we all get offended, right? And we get to those places, and there's a statement, and if you've been with me for a while, you've heard me say this, quickly fixed is quickly forgotten. If you offend me, I offend you, and you come up and say, man, that sucked, that hurt. Oh, man, I'm sorry. It's done, it's over with, no more. And then there are people that live in offense. Not on offense, in offense. Because they have so much hurt that no matter what they're going through, it triggers something new. It triggers something, and they keep this cycle of violence in their relationships. And we need to come, and there's consequences for that. You will not live in joy, and you basically have killed the potential of what this relationship could be because you live in constant offense. And some people are better at hiding it than others. Some people have smile, happy faces all the time, and inside they're dying, and other people you just tell that there are a whole lot of stuff going on. Offense is the devil's playground. If you want a happy life, a joyful life, walk in forgiveness. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. It matters how you respond to them. If you respond in kind, if they give you evil, Bible says do good for good or do good for evil. Don't respond in the way they respond to you. Why? Because you have to be above it. Because you need to be healed. You need to be whole. And to do at their level what they're doing is to say, I'm like them. And you never get past that healing. And you never get to those places. Because here's where we come in. And this is where we're going to end. Thank God for a lady named Abigail. Thank God for Abigail. Why? Because Abigail comes in, smart and intelligent, beautiful, heart-wise and all that stuff. And she says, my Lord, I'll take the blame. Did she have anything to do with this? No, not at all. But she was wise. She was wise, and she came up and she said, look, this may not be my problem, but I'm going to make it my problem because that's my husband. And I'm going to take the blame. And here is what you requested to begin with. And she fed all the people. And she did all those things because she knew the consequences if she didn't do it. And so she came in there and she said, you know what? I'm going to speak out of the goodness of my heart. Give him what he has earned. Not because he deserves it, because he's earned it. And it's what we need to do. And she gave it to him. And she stopped. And I'm going to tell you, nobody died that night. But then here's the other thing that I found interesting. Is that later on, the ball was basically... And I challenge you to read 1 Samuel 25, the whole chapter. The ball comes back and he goes... And he was mad. He says, nah, you know, whatever. And he still gets all that attitude, that hard-heartedness. And less than 10 days later, he basically died of a heart attack. God, you ain't got to fight your battles in relationships. God will do it. You've got to be who God made you to be. And I've said all this today to say this. You have to work on your communication. You have to go through the steps. Speaking less, listening more, and learning to release your anger. Why? Because God wants you to have the best relationship that you can. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you for all that you do with us. God, I pray, Lord, that relationships at this moment would be strengthened. Lord, take good relationships and make them great. Take failed relationships and bring healing. Take relationships that are okay and make them good. Help us walk in forgiveness. Help us communicate. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to ask one simple question. If you're somebody here today who says, you know, I don't know this Jesus, it all starts with asking forgiveness. You can't learn to forgive until you're first forgiven. And God sent his son, and as I told earlier, he divinely accommodated us. He sent his son, and the message that he said was, I forgive you. Will you accept it? Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you. If you'll just raise your hand and say, you know what, I want to accept Christ. I want to ask for forgiveness. I want to know this Jesus. And I want to move into the greatest relationship I've ever had. If that's you, if you'll raise your hand, I'll ask you to put it down. And we'll pray together. Let's just close out in prayer. And Father, we give you this time. We give you our hearts. Help them reflect your glory. Help us find healing and help us know you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, guys. Love each and every one of you guys. Have a beautiful night.